Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining Let's Face the Issues broadcast today. Looking forward to having your dialogue and discussion on the issue. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. We're talking about, are Christians second-class citizens? My answer to that right off is no, absolutely not. But we're being relegated to that. Ladies and gentlemen, our public school system today, they've captured our children. They're talking, thinking somehow, some way that they have the authority to teach them all about the sodomite lifestyle. Our children in public schools are being held hostage today to an anti-Christian, anti-God, anti-parent agenda.
Amen.
Today, ladies and gentlemen, our public school educational system now pushing the sodomite LGBTQ agenda, pushing transsexual agenda, and even assisting young boys and girls to have their trans surgeries without any parental knowledge or consent. They're having and teaching raw pornography in the classrooms. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article that says this. It is from Alliance Defending Freedom. How would you feel if your first grade daughter came home to tell you her teacher is encouraging her to believe that she's really a boy trapped in a girl's body, that the school is actively trying to transition her to a different gender identity, calling her by a different name than the one you gave her at birth, all the while they keep you, the parent, in the dark, end quote. Or what if you learned your child was being indoctrinated by activist teachers with a radical ideology rooted in the critical race theory? Would you be outraged to know that this is happening in your child's childhood school agenda and curriculum? Because whether it's critical race theory or gender identity ideology, more and more parents are discovering these radical ideas are being forced upon our kids in the classroom across the country today. Ladies and gentlemen, that's pressing and pushing the conservative, the Christian, the patriot to be second-class citizens in America today. One other thought before we take our caller. Looking at an article that says, while ruling elites hate and fear genuine Christians. Let me read that title again. While ruling elites hate and fear genuine Christians. In case you missed it, this article reads, in case you missed it, two shocking and unprecedented mega trends are unfolding simultaneously in the United States of America right now. The first is the explosion of what can only be described as openly predatory targeting of America's children by legions of gender activists obsessed with seducing, grooming, and recruiting our kids into the transgender world of puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, surgical amputations of healthy body parts, and astronomical suicide rates. Incredibly, this wild celebration of transgenderism is being praised, promoted, and funded by the ruling class at the highest levels from the White House down, while all who sound the alarm are demonized and canceled. At first, this trend manifested most notably as drag queen story hour events. hosted in the public libraries across America, during which innocent toddlers would be made to sit at the feet of severely mentally ill men, often made up to appear openly demonic, and to regale, that is, to praise, and talk with tales of horrific LGBTQ characters. But that was just the warm-up. This article further states further down in the article. However, as Tucker Carlson recently put it, having some purple-haired loser in a nose ring convince your six-year-old to get a sex change is not why most people send their children to the public school system, end quote. Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's time we as parents and grandparents shut down the public school system. Pull your child out of the public school system. Put them in a semi-public school, either charter school, home school, Christian school, parochial school, or where you have a group of parents that's willing to come in and teach different subjects, but do something to salvage your child before it is too late. I believe we have Tom on the line. Tom, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood, I think to sum it up, there's 1.2 billion Christians on earth, and there's enough Christians, if they would vote according to the Bible, we wouldn't have any problem at all.
Yes, sir.
And but you can't, because you've got, there's also, I think it says, I don't know if that's in scripture, but when good men do nothing, then evil reigns. And you've got a lot of good men who are doing nothing, or they don't vote, or they vote for this progressive candidates, because it's like the prosperity gospel is something in it for them. But to sum it up is, remember when Jesus cast the demons into the hogs and hogs ran over the cliff and killed themselves?
Yep. That's first evidence, by the way, of deviled ham.
Exactly. What we're watching is, we're watching demonic forces that are bound for hell on their way to hell. So don't count it strange. But Dr. Youngblood, I'd really like to thank you, because you know, Augustine, which is our little beloved city of St. Augustine, he said that an unjust law is no law at all.
That's exactly
and
right.
They're passing all these laws against Christians to basically void them out, to cancel culture. But I'd really like to thank you, because when I hope our listeners know that when you state something, you can go to the Bible and find it's based on biblical facts, not on a whim that
yes.
you've had. And that's so reassuring. To me, it is that I'm not listening to a story. That what I'm listening to is biblical truth. And Pastor Davis, he's been under you long enough. He's the same way. So
Amen.
I just thank God
Amen.
For both of you.
Amen. Amen.
Well, it is my joy, delight, and challenge each and every day to try to replicate truth that God has given me into the lives and hearts of men that will stand for truth and impact lives themselves. That's broadening the base of what we need to do as Christians. Tom, you're exactly right.
Amen.
Here's an illustration, Brother Tom, before you go, of what is needed and what is seen as bowing to the left. I'm looking at an article that says the banner on a historic Boston church illustrates the decline of Christianity. And may I just do a little footnote to this before I read the article? What we find today that's allowing Christians to be relegated to second-class citizenship is the fact that we have the moral, ethical values that's plummeted in our churches across the nation. This article says, on the front door of the oldest and most beautiful churches in the country, the Church of the Covenant in Boston hangs a large banner on which is written. Now, this is a banner hanging on the front of a church in Boston. And God said, protect abortion access for all. God says ensure Black Lives Matter. God says honor bodily autonomy. God says defend the LGBTQ plus rights. God said end the voter suppression. God said turn guns into plows. God said abandon fossil fuel. God said provide sanctuaries. God said abolish prisons. God said disarm hate. God speaks truth. God says breathe. God, in other words, says love. Then there's a footnote. If you needed one example of how destructive the leftism has become on mainstream Christianity, look at both Catholic and Protestant and non-Orthodox Judaism. This banner suffices and says it all. Brother Tom, I believe this is what you're alluding to a moment ago. We find today that Christians and churches are not salt and light. As a result of that, we find every denomination embracing the sodomite lifestyle, embracing the transgenderism, embracing the CRT, embracing everything that's antithetical to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. So we're reaping to the whirlwind. We've sown to the wind. We're reaping to the whirlwind now.
Amen.
What we've been sowing for years and years and years. How do you respond to that thought?
You're exactly right, Dr. Youngblood. And me personally, I can see the end. I've listened to you long enough, and I've read the Bible long enough that the end is very near.
Yes.
And that's sad, but the good thing is, Dr. Youngblood, I know I'm saved. And that alone makes me get through the day and basically hold my head up and take another step and praise God. But just like I use that analogy about the hogs going over the cliff, boy, do I see the sinners running headlong into hell.
Yes.
Amen.
And that's sad, but there's a scripture that says, scarcely shall the righteous be saved.
Amen.
So when I know I can turn my radio dial, I drive this big truck all day long around three counties here in North Florida, and I really don't hear another broadcast like this one. I know then scarcely are there good men standing up for what we see today. It's sad, but we do have men like you, Dr. Youngblood and Pastor Davis, that have stood up and they're saying no. But I do believe that what we're going to see, the rapture is near. The persecution will get worse and worse. Because there again, if you allow those 1.2 million people who say they're Christians unite, there's no force on earth that could stop them. So you've got to divide them, conquer them, do anything to keep them divided.
Absolutely.
To keep them divided.
Right.
Amen. So, and you know, Dr. Youngblood, that's what you and I just got finished saying, and this is what really tugs at our hearts the more.
Yes.
We are wondering, where are the Christians?
Mm-hmm.
Who are the Christians?
Right.
Do we have that majority that will stand with us?
Yes.
As this Brother is a Tom big question saying, for us.
Brother Tom was saying, we've got a vast number that claim to be Christians in America, and yet we find a minuscule number that's willing to take the stand, be heard, be seen, and to stand for truth.
Dr. Youngblood, my mother-in-law lives in St. Augustine. She has a close friend, and she's a rabid Democrat. She's 83 years old. Her husband worked for Delta, and he told her, if you want to keep that pension check coming, make sure you vote for Democrat. Now, he didn't tell her, hey, if this party turns radically to the left and starts, you know, aborting babies and mutilating the genitalia of young children, you know, to heck with the money, do not vote for them. And that's really what it is. They believe they're doing right, but basically it's all about the dollar.
Amen.
So that's sad. That's very sad.
Amen.
And
Amen.
My mother-in-law is a staunch Republican, and I always want to ask her, what do you have in common with this person? But they're neighbors, you know. But I just thank you that you, Dr. Youngblood and Pastor Davis, you do stand up. So that gives us hope. You don't know what hope that gives us for just a few good men to do what's right.
Amen. Amen.
Well, thank you
Amen.
For that. I'm humbled by the statement. I'm thankful for the privilege and thankful for you and your comments. Have a blessed day and keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today are Christians second-class citizens. I'd love to hear from you. Do you believe that we should be relegated to the position of second-class citizens? Do you believe that Christians should be silent in the political process? Do you believe that Christians ought to just sit back and let the public school system destroy the hearts, the minds, the lives, the morals, the ethics, and the values of our sons and our daughters and our grandkids? What do you believe? What is your stand? What is your position? Dial 831-0917, 831-0917. Love to hear from you, your thoughts, your dialogue, and discussion on this issue. I'm looking at an article, Pastor Davis, says, state working to become a haven, H-A-V-E-N, a haven for body mutilating surgeries on our children. Joe Biden's decision to go all out on the transgender ideology for children and his efforts to push those body mutilating procedures predictably have brought responses from multiple states that those surgeries aren't allowed. Some state officials even have determined that those treatments, quote, end quote, which are included in chemicals and delayed puberty and ultimately surgeries that remove healthy body parts are an abuse of children. Further, the article states, they say that it would undermine the rights of parents who aren't supportive of sex change for their kids. Other states are moving the opposite direction, restricting such gender-affirming treatments for the children. Those include factors such as social transitions, puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, body mutilating surgeries, etc. Texas, for example, is treating these procedures as a form of child abuse under existing state laws. Alabama has banned the procedure for minors, and the Republican Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is making an administration-wide push to ban all sex change procedures, according to this article. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a little modicum of good news to find that Florida, we're living in a free state. There's still a lot of things wrong, still major problems that we have and some of the political issues, but I'm thankful for what we see taking place in our state that says we're not going to allow our children to be mutilated, to be destroyed morally, ethically, and brainwashed and indoctrinated and recruited into the sodomite lifestyle.
Amen.
Here's
Amen.
An article, Pastor Davis. You can help protect parental rights today. Parents have the responsibility to direct their children generally in their health and well-being. And the Constitution protects the fundamental rights. You were talking about that earlier.
Amen.
Protects the fundamental rights of parents to raise and educate their children consistent with their beliefs and Christian values. But unfortunately, this has not stopped some governmental officials from trying to interfere with parental rights and undercut the important role of mothers and fathers in their child's lives. For example, more and more school districts are ignoring parents' instructions and even concealing information about the children's education on critical issues like sex, gender, and race. These governmental officials are crossing the line, and parents in America have had enough, this writer says. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about our Christians, second-class citizens. If you believe that we're second-class citizens, if you believe that Christians need to be silent about political issues, if you believe that it's all right to just simply bow and bend and keep your child in a public school, I'd love to hear from you as to the rationale behind it. If you believe there ought to be a mass exodus from the public schools of saying, we've had enough, we're going to protect our sons and our daughters, love to hear from you. If you believe that that Christians are second-class citizens, love to hear from you. Ladies and gentlemen, the Biden administration is pushing every event that is unchristian, anti-Christian, anti-God, and is a pagan agenda in the Biden administration, pushing that, and somehow, some way, families across America having the faith, the freedom, and the financial standings of our homes and our families undermined and destroyed.
Amen.
I'll read, Pastor Davis, I'm going to read just a blurb or two of this and let you respond in relationship to it and what you're thinking that we need to do as Christians. This is from the FRC Action. It is a news article that I think is fitting. It says, on Tuesday, the House passed a bill to codify the redefinition of marriage in law. The so-called Respect for Marriage Act would also codify the U.S. Supreme Court's decision in Obergefell versus Hodges in 2015, which legalizes same-sex marriages. Such a clear statement by Congress in favor of same-sex marriage would not only legislatively cement a harmful anti-family, anti-God policy, but would unleash further religious freedom violations and threaten the tax-exempt status of every religious entity. And it goes on to talk about this, ladies and gentlemen. Example of government coercion and prosecution of those that with sincerely held beliefs regarding marriage, and already numerous cases have been made. For example, Barnell Stutzman, the Washington State florist, was sued by the state because she refused to make a flower arrangement for a sodomite wedding. Aaron and Melissa Klein, the owners of the Sweet Cakes of Melissa, who were sued by the state and fined $135,000 for deciding not to bake a cake for a same-sex wedding. Jack Phillips, the Colorado baker, who's been in the U.S. Supreme Court twice to defend his First Amendment rights. And I could go on and on and on, ladies and gentlemen. This article has listed several dozen cases where we've seen persecution and prosecution of Christians. And as a result of that, Pastor, I believe multitudes of Christians see that and say, I'm going to be silent because I don't want to be prosecuted and persecuted as a Christian. So they're being relegated by their silence to second-class citizenship. Amen. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Pastor Davis, Dr. Umbug, how are you guys doing today?
Great. I pray that you are.
Doing good, doing good. Yeah, I've read that I was going to be treated this way. They're doing their best to turn me into a second-class citizen. Mm-hmm. But I'm a child of Christ, and I know what Amen. He told me in the end. He
Amen.
Never promised me anything easy, but he did promise me a soft landing.
Amen.
And these people, they're doing it out of malcontent and maliciousness and straight-up control. They don't want anything good for anybody else. I mean, how can you look at a child and say, I'm going to pervert this young innocence? And then the other thing about churches not speaking up. If you change God's word, if I remember correctly, the very last verse in the Bible is about changing the word, adding to it or taking away from it.
Amen.
And it was not a kind thing that God had to say for those churches either.
Right. Jim, you're exactly right, spot on with what you're saying. Thanks so much for your call and for your input. Ladies and gentlemen, what we're finding is, and it touches on what Jim has just stated, we know that we win in the end. We know that for the child of God, as I tell people, Pastor Davis, for the child of God, it might be rough in this life, and we've got a good retirement plan. It's out of this world.
Amen. Amen. But you know, Dr. Youngblood, as you were saying what you just got finished saying, and Brother Jim finished, thank you so much for what you said, Brother Jim, and Brother Tom also. Amen. You know, if we go back and look at how the church has changed down through the years, the biggest factor to the reasoning of the church softening up its stance on government and policies that are being brought forth that they know don't line up with the word of God is compromise.
That's right. Good term.
Compromise.
Yes.
Has always been a dangerous enemy for the church, because when we do that, Dr. Youngblood, we allow them to restrict our religious freedoms that we have according to the Constitution. Now, when we look at the preamble to the Constitution, and I was thinking about that a little bit earlier, one of those lines say, to ensure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our prosperity. Do ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States of America.
Yes.
That's the last line.
Yes.
That means something, Dr.
Absolutely.
Youngblood. But
Absolutely.
We have to take a stance upon that.
Yes.
Now, what I wanted to say about the consequences of restricting religious freedom, we need to know restricting religious freedom forces many Americans out of jobs and blocks organizations from providing social services desperately needed by their communities.
Yes.
That's one of the dangers. It also endangers other civil liberties, including free speech, free association, and even economic freedom.
Yes.
Faith-based social service providers and educational institutions often have core beliefs about issues like marriage, family, and sexuality. Mm-hmm. But it forces them to compromise their religious commitments, and that cripples their ability to serve their community.
Yes.
That's the end goal.
That's the end goal. That's what they're wanting.
If they can force you into that area, they're going to cripple your ability to do your job.
Exactly what they're looking to do.
So we shouldn't bow, and no, we shouldn't bend.
Absolutely. Pastor, we've got about 2 minutes, 2.5, 3 minutes in the broadcast today. Let's wrap up with this thought. Perhaps we've got listeners saying, well, how should we respond? What should we do? Ladies and gentlemen, Peter, you go back and study the book of Acts. Peter had been beaten. He had been thrown in prison. What did he do? Did he rob a bank? Did he shoot somebody? No. He was out on the street corner, street preaching. And they said, you can't do this. So they beat him. They threw him in jail. They released him and said, we're going to let you go, boy, but don't you do this anymore. What did Peter do? He sat in the corner. He wrung his hands and he cried and he wept. No, he didn't. He went back out on the street and was obedient to what God had called him to do, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they chided him and chided him and said, haven't we warned you? Haven't we told you that you can't do this? He said, we ought to obey God rather than man. In fact, we ought to place our trust and faith and confidence in God, not in government. So, ladies and gentlemen, number one, we need to do that. And secondly, we need to put on the whole armor of God, and we need to stand. In your leisure, ladies and gentlemen, study Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and following. Tells us, warns us to put on the whole armor of God. Tells us that we are fighting against, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. In other words, we're in a demonic battle. And the Apostle Paul tells the believers in the at the church at Ephesus that we need to stand, and having done all, to stand. So, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, when you translate that thought as Christians, and I want you to understand this, as Christians, we need to stand for truth, speak the truth, learn the truth, live the truth, tell the truth, defend the truth, even to death, and put on the whole armor of God, and then we dig in our heels. We do not bow, we do not bend, we do not run, we do not hide. We stand for truth, and we stand for the Word of God. And I, Pastor, I believe that's the only hope that we have.
Amen.
Is to stand for truth and standing for the Word of God. In fact, we find a clear, clear need in Scripture. I'm looking at an article. We'll close with this and then allow you to take a moment. The problem with not talking about politics at church, we need to, ladies and gentlemen, talk about politics from the pulpit. It's called politics. It's the Word of God. No such thing as having a diversity and a dissection of life. The kingdom of God is the family of God in the life of God. And whether it's from Genesis to Revelation, it is all one big picture of who God is and what God's doing. So if I talk about politics, it's talking about biblical truth. If I talk about social economic issues, I'm talking about biblical truth. If I talk about moral, ethical, theological issues, I'm talking about biblical truth. And we need to take a stand for truth and not be afraid to get involved in what's called the political affairs.
Amen. 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 So just to wrap up this broadcast on today, we want you to be encouraged.
Yes.
Psalm 37:7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Amen. God will see us through.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll leave you this word. God's still on the throne. God's still in charge. He's not asleep. He's not on vacation. So look up, lift up our heads, for the Bible says our redemption draweth nigh. Thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly 9 to 10 for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.